All right, everyone ready for some salvation?
I'm ready.
Yeah, I hope so. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for being our God, and thank you for the opportunity we have open your word tonight. Thank you for this class as we continue down the road of understanding. And Lord, if we do not understand, do not let us know that we do not understand. Help us to see in ways where you are working through salvation that we've never thought. And we thank you, man, in your Son's most holy, precious, and glorious name. Amen. What do we know about salvation? What did you guys learn? What did we talk about? Pull me up to date. What are some of the things you got in your notes? Not all at once now. I don't know if I can handle it. All these hands up coming at me. It is a gift, yes. Excuse me? Christ died for everybody, not just for those that was going to accept. What's the difference between predestination and post-destination? Talk about that a little bit last week. Still a little lost on that one. Post-destination and predestination. Who else is confused about that simple concept? Repeat. I love that. I am not confused. I just want it repeated.
Right. That's it.
If God looks ahead in his foreknowledge, in his omniscience, meaning he knows all things and he sees the future, because he is the future. In his omniscience, correct? If God looks ahead in his foreknowledge, and he looks ahead in his omniscience of knowing all things, and at the same time he is the eternal now, God is not in time. Okay? We understand that concept. We're all flowing? It's important for you to get that. God has given time for mankind. Thus he lives in the eternal now. If he looks in his eternal now ahead of us, what has happened? Sees who will accept him or not, then choose, then he is post-choosing.
Right.
He chooses after he sees who is going to accept. Thus, your decision dictates his decision. Is that biblical? Not when it comes to sovereignty. If he chooses before any aspect of your desire or your choice, that is pre-choosing, predestination. Okay? So anyone that tries to make God look ahead, see who will choose, and then say, okay, since he see that you are going to accept, he has predestined you to be a believer. Has nothing to do with his sovereign and he who chooses who he pleases, and thus, at the same time, not contradicting your free will. Predestination was the last thing we talked about in that whole concept was, the concept of understanding predestination has nothing to do with making sure that some will not be saved. Predestination is God's choice to guarantee that some will be saved. Okay, does everyone understand that?
I think I wrote something down for post-destination, but I've got nothing for predestination.
Most people understand pre, but when we threw that post-destination out, wigs was flipping. So I think we spent most of the time on post last week, didn't we? We're spending time on predestination.
So for pre, saying a set will be saved, and then another set may be saved.
No.
Okay.
Pre says there will be a certain number saved, and there will be a certain number that won't be saved. But if it wasn't for God's predestination, the truth would be there would be none saved.
That definitely with free will, something.
That has everything to do away with free will when we talk about predestination. Has nothing to do with free will when it comes to your choice. Now, the only way free will, now get this, this is so important. The only way that free will and predestination work together is we must move outside of the logic of science. Alright? I think we talked about this once before. Looking at the whole board. Denise, you want to get this a part of this light here? When we look at the whole board, remember us talking about this? Let's look at this little dot, this where this line intersects. That's all a man's knowledge. Remember us talking about this? The whole picture represents all knowledge, God's. Okay? Now, in man's knowledge is the law of logic. The law of logic says, if A is right about the same subject that B is wrong about, then there's only one answer. Either A is right and B is wrong, or they're both wrong. That's logic. If you're dealing with the same subject and you have two opinions about that subject, you can have one that's right, opposite opinion must be wrong. Or they are both wrong. They cannot be both right about opposite opinions of the same issue inside man's logic. That is totally untrue when it comes to salvation with free will or salvation by predestination. Inside man's logic, those two contradict themselves, true or false. Man's logic says, if God chose, you had nothing to do with it. If you chose, then God stood out of it. That is logic, except, again, in man's knowledge, there is no cure for the common cold. I'm listening. Outside of man's knowledge is maybe the cure. Will we agree or disagree that there's probably a possibility outside of man's knowledge that there is a cure for the common cold? Now, simply because something is outside of man's knowledge, can we say it is not true? Inside man's knowledge is an aspect of how electricity works. Only thing I know why electricity works is I flip the switch. Can I have an amen from somebody? I think I got the negative and the positive and the reflection and the attractions and da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. You got the opposite poles, and that's the opposite poles get to be close and repel each other, and there's some staggered electricity. You get enough opposing, and then you can get enough to make your wig flip. Can I have an amen if it get on you? Make you look like me. You hold that wire too long. You know what I'm saying? Now, outside of my knowledge, I don't know the basic dynamics and fundamentals of electricity. But inside man's knowledge, it is there. So just because it's outside of my knowledge, how ignorant would I be to say that is an impossibility, it can't work? Now let's get further down the road. If God has created man's mind and limited man's mind to reflect and respond to what God has revealed, are there certain things that is in God that God has not allowed man to understand in his knowledge? Now, outside of man's knowledge, the logic of one being right about the same subject and one being wrong about the same subject, inside man's knowledge cannot match, ever. But outside of man's knowledge, God says they intersect and they both work. That's predestination and what we know as free will. You know why we know it intersects outside of man's knowledge? Because God says they're both are true. Right. Thus, by faith, that which is beyond our mind, which is limited to logic, and the laws of logic, which God gave man to have enough logic to respond to what he has revealed about himself, it cannot work. Thus, we must have faith that outside of our understanding, God has the understanding, and we end up like Paul in Romans chapters 9, 10, and 11. Yes.
But if we can understand that if God set up predestined that some would be saved.
If God set up that some can be saved, predestined.
Predestined that some would be saved.
Yes, but you can't be saved without
we know
faith.
With faith, right?
And God never predestined faith.
But that he didn't necessarily say which ones those would be, so our free will is still to make it us or not make it us.
No.
Right?
Not when it comes to predestination.
No, I mean to be saved. I mean,
when it comes
to
your...
You either have faith or you don't. I mean, or you do what you're supposed to, or you don't.
So God has no problem making you have faith. He can put you through some things.
Right. But we...
and
we... Right. But we choose.
If you're talking about free will.
Free will.
You choose. If we're talking about the juxtaposition, when we're looking at juxtaposition, you put free will against predestination. Predestination overrides free will every time. You don't have a choice.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
Okay. But what we try to do is we try to make them exist together in our logic. It's impossible.
No.
So if we're going to talk about predestination and free will, we got to come to the conclusion that it is true, both of them. But again, it's like Paul. And I told you, I'm not going to explain predestination to you and free will for two reasons. One, your little minds will not be able to understand the concept if I explained it. That's number one. Number two, I can't explain it. And I think that's two good reasons not to get into it. Can I have an amen for somebody? What I'm talking about. That's why I don't have to worry about that which does not line up in my logical mind inside of all of man's knowledge causes me no effect, because I know outside of man's knowledge, all knowledge exists, and all knowledge says outside of man's logic, those two have a just position and stop being in just position and have a meeting. Okay? Most important fact is predestination does not eliminate some from going to heaven. Predestination guarantees that there will be some of us that will make it. And then move over from predestination. You have responsible will, a free will we call it. If you choose, you are accepted by God. If you reject, you're condemned.
So then you're saying there's two, under predestination there's two, those that have been already elected?
That's under predestination.
Okay, and then there's another group that can still come?
No.
No, that it's all under one group.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
So the pre can do that, but they still have to have
the predestinated will be saved, but they gotta be saved through faith. That is not yours. But God gives everyone who will accept and want faith to respond to.
Yeah.
Don't get them mixed up. Don't make it too easy on yourself. Okay? Are we flowing? It's very important to understand the whole aspect of man's knowledge limited to what we know logic is, and God's omniscience, all knowledge, existing outside of man's knowledge. If it weren't for the predestination of God, there would be no human beings in heaven. Yes, ma'am.
So what you're saying is that God knows who's going to be predestined, but he doesn't pick and choose who's going to do that. Is that correct?
No, he picks.
He picks?
That's predestination. Did anyone hear that?
No.
She says, in predestination, God knows who will accept him, but he doesn't pick them. I said, No. He picks them.
But that's in our... Wouldn't that negate the free will then?
In, inside of our man's knowledge of logic, it would. But we're dealing with a God who's outside of our limited knowledge, who said they both work together. Now, Paul spent three chapters trying to explain the two, Romans 9, 10, 11. If we get a chance to sit down and read, Romans chapter 9 says, you had nothing to do with it, it was all God.
So what happens if he picked you? If he doesn't.
And then you work real hard to train not to get picked.
Oh, you do that anyway.
Yeah,
everyone works on not getting picked because of our sinful nature.
But something's going to happen to save you anyway.
Something's going to come along that you're going to take that faith that he's given you and respond to it. Because when God makes a prediction, it happens.
So why do we work hard and come to class? Because if we're going to go, we're going to go anyway.
Nope.
It don't work that way.
Don't work that way. See, a lot of five-point Calvinists, people are very legalistic, extremely legalistic, and they have an attitude of, well, I don't have to witness, because that person is going to come to the Lord or not if he's predestined. I don't have to witness. Well, if you have that attitude, you just became disobedient, because God says what? Witness. And you may be the catalog, you could be the catalyst. You could be the jumping board that moves that person into what he has been predestined to do.
Right.
Yes, ma'am.
Just a little idea how the free will may work with the predestined.
Mm-hmm.
When you're teaching a child how to do something or not do something, you lead them in a direction that will help them choose the right choice. So maybe it's kind of God's kind of bumper for those that he's predestined so they actually choose the right.
You're chosen before you get to the bumpers. In other words,
if he sets up the bumpers so that you do make the right choice,
then that will be based upon what you do. God's choice has nothing to do with what you do. Not even if he, not even directing us. That if he is sovereign, everything you go through filters through his hand. See? And what we try to do is we try to understand it by trying to put them both together. You cannot. You have to separate predestination, study it in its fullness, Romans chapter 9. This is true. Chapter 10, free will, choice, you choose. 100% true. That's where you got to study. You separate 9 and 10 of Romans. You know Romans 9 is totally true. You know chapter 10 is totally true. Inside of man's knowledge, 9 and 10 cannot function together. It's impossible for it to function together. Then chapter 11 of Romans, Paul says, I don't know how it works. God is too great for us to comprehend this. I give up. I'm not trying to explain it anymore. That's Paul. And if he wrote two-thirds of the New Testament, almost, and says, don't work for me, bye. I'm going to go with Paul. I'm just glad that we have faith. And it was given to us. And we responded to it in his predestination and our free will. Back in the back. Yeah, and then we'll come back.
In the human front yard, and the human comes out and tries to explain to him American Idol TV show.
That's difficult trying to explain to some human.
Yeah. So the ants just live their life, and in our case, but we have to have the faith that he knows what he's doing,
mm-hmm.
and that we don't get to know the whole picture.
This is going to be even worse when we look at eternal salvation, eternal security of the believer.
Because it's eternal, so it's late.
Yeah.
And we're saved backwards and forwards.
And we're saved backwards and forwards if we move into Christ. And that's why I love throwing out at folks to just get them going the difference between what I believe everlasting life is, which is non-believers, and what eternal life is, which is believers. Only difference is where we're going to spend eternity. Can I have an amen from somebody? It will be, the world would love for life to end at death. If life ends at death, we are, most people are all miserable. Because we could have ate, drank, and been merry. But tomorrow we die and it's over. And no one's going to live long enough to remember me anyway. What causes God to choose people? God. He is not influenced. Not in predestination. There's nothing that influences him. He himself chooses. I like you, you're going to burn. I like, no, just kidding. That's how we think about it, you know. But God says, all of you are lost. I want to make sure son makes it because my son died.
He doesn't go down and say, you win, you don't, you win, you don't. He doesn't say that.
Well, I mean, he could say that, but what's the motivation for saying that? He says, you're saved, and he goes over, you're saved, and he goes over, you're saved. Everyone else knows they're lost anyway. You don't have to say you're not. See? We're all born into sin and condemned to where? Hades. Until we get to. He at the Winnie Rose? Or the Winnie at the Rose? Okay? Back and then we'll come. Yes. Oh, wait just a minute. I'm sorry. You had your hand up first.
Okay. When I tried to explain this to friends, like when we were at the Baptist church before.
When you tried to explain it to friends,
It seemed like every time I read, and then I know that I used to say it more, but it's that the Holy Spirit draws us. It's not of our doing. And that we've been elected. God for you.
We've been elected, God for new.
Right. So then they come back with, so then we're puppets, and that we're being manipulated, that we have no free will. And to me, it's like, okay, I don't care if I'm a puppet. I'm a puppet of God. That's fine. But that seems to be the biggest struggle that they have. You know, and
people that hears about the predestination issue is saying, well, we're just puppets. We're just robots, basically, and with no choice. So what's this issue? Then just tell them, says, well, if you don't want to get up tomorrow, stay in bed.
Yeah.
You don't want to get up tomorrow, stay in bed. So did God tell you to stay in bed, or did you have the choice to stay in bed or get up? So God never overrides the human decision if you're talking about free will. Okay? The best way we can explain it is like this, and then we'll come back to you and then over to you, Alex. The best way we can explain it is, how many of us have ever been on a large ship where you can walk, it's large enough that you can walk in different directions? Anybody? Okay, you can walk east, west, you can walk north and south, but you're all going north. If that's the way the bus, the ship is going. True or false? Okay? That's God. You're on his ship. Take any direction you want to go. Okay? Yeah, bro. Because it doesn't bring him glory. If he just eliminated no one not being saved. See, God is perfect. Right? And the way he wants to be loved would be how? Imperfect or perfect? Perfect. The best way to be loved is to be made, make someone love you or give them the choice to love you. Give them the choice to love you. See, I can make all my kids obedient. I have no problem making my kid obedient. Any of them. I can make them so obedient they'll be afraid to breathe. Right? All they have to do is just come down on them until they're old enough to rebel and leave. But until they rebel and leave, get old enough, they're gonna obey Pop. Because I rule with an iron hand. Talk to the people. Alright? Or I can teach them good choices to please Dad. Either way, I got obedience. But which one brings Dad greater glory? Them being obedient out of fear? Of them being obedient out of love. If God is perfect, which one is he going to choose for you to bring greater glory to him? Your choice.
That sounds like a free will argument.
I can't hear you.
That sounds like a free will argument.
Sure it is. It doesn't work in predestination.
I just want my name.
We all want our way, don't we? That's why we got the two groups. And that struggle in the flesh, that isn't that exactly what the struggle that Romans 7 talks about? Romans 8 tells us how to get out of it. That's the double struggle. I want to do what's right, Romans 7, begin with 15 to the end of the chapter, but I end up doing what's wrong. I don't want to do wrong, but I end up doing it anyway. I want to please God, but I keep pleasing the flesh. Oh, wretched man that I am, what can set me free from this eternal fight of wanting to do right and wanting to do wrong, not wanting to do wrong, but doing it anyway? Praise be to God, through His Spirit, I can be set free. For with the mind, I want to please God, but with the flesh, I want to please me. Thanks be to God that there is no condemnation, Romans chapter 8, verse 1, to those that are accepted by Him. Because the Spirit leads us into a life that pleases Him and not be managed by the flesh. Romans chapter 8 has the Holy Spirit mentioned in it in one chapter more than any other chapter in the entire Bible. Okay? Yeah, bro.
God is.
Yes.
Not just a partial picture, because He's the one who created the universe and mm-hmm. beyond the universe. And He could have made us in any form He wanted.
Any form.
Or He didn't have to be born at all. So the first gift is life itself. He gave us that. Mm-hmm. And once He gave us life, the next thing that we get is salvation. Mm-hmm. And eternity with Him is just beyond anything that's comprehensive. Yeah. He's so powerful, so big, so we're still trying to put them in boxes.
Yeah.
And when you show that screen up there with knowledge, you can multiply that by.
Oh, I mean, that's just a small picture. Yeah.
And another dimension that we know about.
His knowledge, compared to that man's knowledge there, would be schooled by 100 square.
Right. So for us to try to get that real clear picture as a human, you know, even Einstein still really could be put in the universe.
Yeah.
Yeah. And even scientists now can't explain why the tree grows.
Well, scientists can't figure out why the human body grows as old as quick as it does. Yeah. Human body should be able to live 500-600 years. Easy. God just limited after the flood. After the Luwian period, God had no problem making man live extremely long. Early antiquity, God limited. Okay. Yeah, my brother.
I think it was same line question right there, but I know at the beginning of your sermons on Sunday, you said that the job is to populate heaven. And I guess I was wondering why populate heaven is always just why don't you just
because that's part of our responsibilities. Go ahead. I mean, if you look at it, guys, he says, if our job, we start out to populate heaven and depopulate hell. If God has chosen who's going to populate heaven, why do we populate heaven? And that question is because that's part of our responsibility God asked us to do.
Well, He gives trials and tribulations too. So why?
Because He knows you and I well enough to know you and I are going to grow without Him. So the issue is not whether you get into heaven or not. The issue is what kind of rewards you're going to get when you get to heaven. That's limited to you and your free will. See, God knows you and I enough to know that we are selfish enough inside of our flesh that if we're not motivated, we'll just be happy with salvation.
That's true.
Forget it and then just live any way we want. And God knows that He is not going to allow someone that belongs to Him to live that way. So He gives two things to motivate us, rewards and discipline. If it would have been, too much of the world has died without Him for that to be true. because all life is going to be brought back together at the end. And if every man becomes a believer from now on out, not all one will be saved. Because once you take the breath, the decision is over to change your mind. There are people that talk that, you know, that you got some type of purgatory that you can go to and change your mind. And God went down and preached to everyone that died before he was crucified to give them a chance of those 3 days at.
So everybody can be saved.
No, means no. Not everyone can be saved. Not everyone will be. Oh, if they accepted Christ, they have their salvation. But too many has gone without accepting Him. Then the Bible would be a lie. And God is not going to contradict what He has said is going to happen. That's it. What is the only thing that's true about God? What God says is true about Him. What did we find out what God has said about Himself? The Bible. And the Bible says that to the end of time, man's going to accept and reject. Not all will be saved. That's why we can be assured that it's going to happen that way.
The part about that is even if we thought that everybody was going to be saved, He wants us to join in. He wants to show us how much He loves us by letting us be part of that process so we can enjoy the fact of watching something.
Yeah.
So He gives us that opportunity. It's an opportunity for us. It's not a sense. It's an opportunity to live a joyful life. So He set it up that way because He makes the rules so that we can be part of that whole process.
No doubt about it. No doubt about it. Yes, ma'am. One more. That's... They're the chosen people in what way? The nation would get a second chance, not individuals. It's going to be the people that's going to go through the tribulation that they haven't accepted and they're still alive when rapture takes place. That are Jewish. Because the New Testament is going to cease and God's going to go back to the Old Testament to finish the 70th week of Daniel. Following the prophecy that's happening. When Daniel asked him, what is your plan for the Jews? He didn't ask, what is your plan? He just asked, what is your plan for the Jews? He said, 70 weeks. 70 times 7. 490 years. Right? Of what God's going to do. God never said there was going to be a break between the 69th week of Daniel and the 70th week of Daniel. That's the church age. Dispensation. Okay? We will study that if we ever get out of this discussion. That is going to be in eschatology, our last couple of weeks of class, where we're going to go through Revelation and the timeline of man from the beginning to the very end.
August.
It must be before the picnic. I do not teach this class anymore after the picnic. Okay? I am fired up. I see that I am fired up here. Now I gotta find out where is my. Oh, there it is. My battery is full. Can I have an amen?
Amen.
Okay. Romans 3:10 through 18. And what is man's effort in salvation? Let's roll. We gotta roll, Jax. Romans. Someone read Romans 3, 10 through 18 for me. Who will look up John 6, 44 where we're waiting on Romans? John 6, 44. All right, you got that, young lady. Romans 3, 10 through 18. All right, very loud, please, in the back.
As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none who understands. There is none who seeks after God.
Okay, now how many does good according to Romans 3? How many seeks after God according to Romans 3? How many would even look after God if they had the opportunity without God taking the choice in Romans 3. If none would take the choice, if none would see the choice, if none would understand the choice, and none would even look at it, who would be saved if God didn't predestine?
None.
Okay? Very important to understand that. A couple more verses, bro.
And the way of peace they have not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes.
Romans says man's effort is what? Non-existent. So if God does not take the initiative in the people that he has created, there will be none saved. How many times have we looked at a tragedy, a plane crash, a shipwreck, and it sinks, and we say, how fortunate are the survivors? Can't hear you. Why would that person be saved? That person wasn't. Or we see an aircraft plane crash where all was killed. We say, what a tragedy. God says, I am the one that's keeping all of mankind from a tragedy. Okay? That's it. God is how we want to look at it, how we want to understand it, how we want to go at it, how we want to make it, how we want to understand it. The one thing you and I must understand when it comes to salvation is God keeps mankind from a wreck because of our mom and dad. Adam and Eve. We wouldn't even have to tend to God. God will take care of itself. Be no bad breath, no zits, no ugliness.
Yeah.
Talk about me.
There must be a lawsuit in there.
There's a lawsuit in there somewhere. Let's sue mom and dad when I get to heaven. If there is a lawyer in heaven, I'm gonna find me one. Just kidding, y'all. I know that'd be one. 6:44, real loud.
No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up in the last day.
No one. What does no one mean in Greek?
No
one will come to me unless the Father does what? Draws them to me. And whoever he draws to me, I will lift up in the last day. It's all God's choice. If man does not have a choice in it, then whose choice is it? And everybody said, everyone said? God's choice. Let's read John 15:16. Go for it, Broski Dooski.
One of those listening was a woman named Lydia, a dealer in purple cloth from the city of Thyatira.
Way to go, Broski.
Who was a worshiper of God, the Lord, opened her heart to respond to Paul's message.
Wow. How did she open her heart for God's message? Who opened it? The Lord opened it. God saves mankind from what? Total shipwreck that everyone was lost. That's salvation. And whose job is it to bring those people around according to the verse we read? Holy Spirit. Our job is to witness. It is the Holy Spirit's job to give, plant, and fruit in that salvation. Now, one thing you can understand is, wow, and when it comes to free will, that free will choice cannot be affected if seeds aren't planted. Now, if there was a choice that mankind had to depend on, do you think man would want to depend on you being obedient to plant the seed and witness to them so the Holy Spirit can make it grow? Or do you think mankind, knowing the options, would rather for God to make the choice? I can't hear you. Which one would you rather for it to be? Some Christian may not feel good today and just pass you by and no seed was ever done. Boom, you burn. I don't know about you, but I'm glad I don't have to depend on man. That's it. For my salvation. Because there can be some rebellious people out there. Yes, ma'am.
I'm thinking of a person in particular, but there's a scripture that says, thou not casting your pearls before swine.
Thou casting your
pearls
before swine. Yes, ma'am. What about it?
If we're struggling with somebody, could we not say that they're probably not predestined for this and they're swine and I'm not going to deal with them?
Nope. There's no such thing as salvation swine. The reason why we don't want to deal with them has nothing to do with whether they're going to accept Christ or not. It's what I'm just flustered with them. And I don't want to spend eternity in heaven with them anyway. They're going to mess up heaven. That's right.
I don't know if they're not the ones who are not cast their children.
Because, what, have you read the verses before and after that?
Sometimes.
Yeah. You read the whole thing, you can understand what it means. Your job is not to convince folks. Never has been, never will be. Your job is just to give them the truth. What we do a lot of times, we take on responsibility that's none of our business. Can't hear you.
That's true.
Well, wait a minute now. Y'all weren't too happy about that one. Now, say we plan a picnic for Saturday. Okay, we plan a picnic for Saturday. What if it rains? We will worry more about it raining or not raining on Saturday than getting ready for the picnic, which is your responsibility. We leave up what only God can do to us, and we leave up what we're supposed to do to God. And then we wonder why things don't work out. One thing that God told Martha is, if you don't feed me, I'll survive. Amen, the two sisters. But if you don't let me feed you, you won't. If God had given up on hopeless sinners, he never would have predestined us to eliminate you being hopeless. See, there's no such thing as a hopeless sinner. No such thing. Because you don't know if God has chosen them, and you don't know if they will choose. As long as they can breathe and they look human, witness to them. Can I have an amen on it?
Yeah.
Ephesians 2, 4, 2, 7. We get that? Okay, Mark.
Now because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in some cases, he might show the incomparable riches of his grace, expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus.
Can I have an amen for somebody? Oh, I tell you, she's about salvation, man. You can just see the greatness of God the more you understand salvation, and you can see the responsibility of the third person of the Trinity in that selection.
Right.
Now, if it is the Holy Spirit's job, your job is to be obedient to plant the seed. Salvation, my response. John 1:12. So those that believe, look at all this stuff that we've been dealing with over and over and over again about predestination, then we come to the end of this and it says, when you choose.
Yeah,
what's up with this Bible stuff? Your responsibility. Anyone that is not saved, it is your fault. Anyone that is saved, if we're talking about free will, your choice. If we're talking about predestination, you had nothing to do with it. Make sure you know which one you're talking about. When we talk about essence and role of God, essence and role towards salvation. Don't forget it. Is it making more sense to you? I know it isn't to me, and I taught this class a whole bunch of them. God's power. These are good verses here. Let's get to them real quick. Romans 1:16, 1 Peter 1:5. Okay, Romans 1:16, real loud.
For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek.
Isn't this amazing? Here come that free will stuff again. What's up with this? And check this out. If it wasn't for the power of God, even your choice wouldn't be good enough.
Amen.
Think about it. Think about it. Don't go too quick on that one. If it wasn't for the power of God to take that belief that you respond to that he gave to you in the first place, and to take that unregenerate mind and heart that responds right, it takes God's power to move from you going to eternally away from him to make you come eternally towards him and be with him for eternity. It is the power of God, not your decision. Think about that. Isn't that amazing? How much of this is dependent on God? All of it. All of it. Even man's free will choice is dependent upon the power of God. That all of that. Talk to me, folks, about what should that do to all of us? Smoke that. Why did I get so excited about that? I know how important he is, and I'm not. 1 Peter 1:5. What's that now? Read that again. That's power in that verse. Let's not forget, what is salvation? Is salvation a one-fold thing or a threefold thing? What is it? Threefold. Salvation is a threefold purpose of God. The Trinity. Everything is based off of God's relationship to God. Salvation is threefold. You have been saved if you've accepted it. You are being saved if you're still alive. You will be saved in judgment. All accepted immediately. Now, if that is true, we can understand where we're going next. Every week builds upon the previous week. Every section builds upon the previous section. If salvation is threefold, you have been saved because you accepted him. Holy Spirit came in, sealed you, indwelt you, permanently will not leave you or forsake you. And when the Holy Spirit is pulled out of here, we got to go with it. Wherever it's pulled out. Amen? You are being saved. You are working out your salvation with fear and trembling. You're not trying to get your salvation. You have your salvation, and God is leaving us here on earth so that when you come to heaven, your change won't be so drastic. Can I have an amen on that? For most Christians that are still alive, when rapture comes, it's not going to be rapture, it's going to be rupture. The change is going to be so drastic. Wow! Whoa, did I change your life? What?
How easy is it, if you've done those, the first two, how easy is it to lose it?
You cannot. If you've done the first one, you automatically get number two and number three.
Even though you keep slipping.
It doesn't matter, because salvation is not based upon what you do. Salvation is based upon what God did and the power to save you, right?
Yeah.
Now, once you are saved, you are being saved. That's number two, right?
Yeah.
So God's choice is to help you alone or to beat you if you don't.
That's
real. Amen?
Yeah.
That's God's choice. He says, your parents know how to discipline you. Doesn't God know how to discipline you more because he loves you more than a parent?
Amen.
Anyone would have any idea where that probably is? Yeah, Hebrews. Know what chapter? 12. Now, you understand that? God says, once you accept him, his job is to move you into discipline. To make you change whether you like it or not. And you can run, but you got to remember, God is a long-distance runner. And when you get to where you're going, he's already there waiting for you to get tired. So he goes, okay, let's start again. So you have been saved. You are being
saved.
And you will be
saved.
Third point. When you get to heaven, when you're raptured out of here, great white throne, judgment, everything, you're sealed because you've already gone through the gifting during the tribulation period. Everyone else that wasn't up there will have to go through that, the great white throne judgment. And some will be wiped out of the book of life. People go, oh, they're going to be wiped out of the book of life. How can you be wiped out of the book of life if you can't lose your salvation? We'll talk about that when we get to the great white throne. How does that work with children?
Yeah, well,
mean dying before or before the age of accountability? When you have the opportunity to reject Christ and know what you're doing, that's the age of accountability, where God holds you to your decision. Before then, you are covered by the blood of Christ. Infinite dies, abortion, kids, all will be in heaven.
Where is that at?
It's so many places through the scripture, you just can't choose one out. One of the greatest aspects of it is David and his son. When his son died through the sin of Bathsheba, when he died, he got up, took a bath, went and ate. They go, wait a minute, when he was sick, you wouldn't eat, you wouldn't bathe, you wouldn't shave. Now he's dead, you act like you're fine. He said, because I know I'm going to go to him again. He can't come to me, but I'm going to him. Some children can probably accept 4 or 5. Some children has to wait until 8, 9, 10, 11. We don't know. Some kids can never accept if they're mentally disturbed and have shortcomings and the brain can't function. God covers them.
Yeah. Because, like, my daughter's only 3, and she knows a lot. We talk about it, and she says that she believes all that, and she accepts all that. But at the same time, I don't know how.
You do not know, right? You just keep giving her the truth. Because God one day is going to say she recognizes and she understands. If she can explain it to you and know what it means, they're getting close. If they can explain it back to you, they're getting close. Yes, ma'am. It's only one of two things. Maybe they didn't, or maybe they did. Only God knows for sure. You know what I'm saying? So, see, anyone can accept Christ and walk off and have no guilt, no nothing to deal with, they never accepted Christ. They said the prayer, but they never believed in the heart. God said, I'm not concerned with your words. I want to know what the heart says. Heart says. We think about the emotion. God says it's the volition of the mind that you accept Christ or not. It has nothing to do with emotion. The free will decision of the mind, if he has chosen you, and the juxtaposition in the parallel. So you may have gone through confirmation. You may have said it. But if the Holy Spirit don't convict you about what you're doing is wrong, and you felt fine doing any type of life you wanted to, you probably didn't get salvation. And the Holy Spirit didn't move into your life. Then you got it later, and you got conviction turned around. You do wrong. Holy Spirit conviction. It is the Holy Spirit's job to know when the heart has accepted him and he moves in. And once he moves in, you got conviction on your heart. You can act like nothing wrong with you. That's why someone looking at you cannot tell, because you can hide those emotions, but you can't hide the conviction of the Holy Spirit living in you. Why would he?
Well, you know, I grew up with somebody that, I mean, I saw her, I mean, I know that's the love of Christ. I know what it is, but she rejects him not fully.
Yeah, so what about it? If the Holy Spirit moves in her life, she can pretend like it doesn't bother her one bit. She's the most miserable person in the world when she's alone. I can promise you that. If nothing bothers her, she never was a believer, even so she taught right. John tells us this, even though you call me Lord, I'm going to say I didn't know you. So the one thing we can know, we may not know where a person is, but one thing we can know, if they believe, confess in their heart, and the Holy Spirit moved in, he's not going to leave it. He's going to beat them to death. And if they don't accept, eventually he's going to say, you're no longer on this earth, bye. He's going to let Satan take you out, and God's going to bring you straight to heaven. Because you're not doing them any good here if you harden your heart. See, why do we know that a person has not hardened their heart? Anybody? They're still here on earth. They're still alive. As long as they're still alive, their heart hasn't been hardened. But if their heart is hardened, they're not going to repent, not going to come back, God lets Satan kill them because they're a worse witness to him than someone is not accepting. Their life is not good when you're not living for God to bring fruit and to plant seeds in other people. So you can rest assured one thing. If she was a believer, she is miserable. The Holy Spirit is eating her. And she can pretend, pretend like everything hunky-dory, nothing bothering her, I don't care about God. Words can say anything. Holy Spirit is in there beating her liver to a quiver. That's his job. If she's not having any conviction, it was because of her parents and her church. That's as deep as her religion got. Okay? You can rest assured on that. And that's the glory that we have in God. And that's the power of trust that we have in God. That if the Holy Spirit ever moved in, it is never going to leave. If he's never been in there, how can he bring conviction for them doing wrong? Because it's natural for the flesh to do that. It'd be like this. Let me see if I can explain it to you this way. Okay? Maybe this will help you. You ever met me? Me. All right. You ever come to class and hear me teach? You ever laughed at some of my corny jokes? Okay. See what I'm saying? Now, what if you leave here and say, I don't believe in Ken Hutchins, he's never existed? Excuse me? And you'd be fooling yourself because you would really want to believe that. Anyone who's ever met God cannot say, I never knew him and I never had anything to do with him. And can live with themselves. She been married? More than once? You still know her? How good is she? How well is she doing? That's not what I asked. Guess what? That's about a lot more going on than she want to let you know. And the only thing you got is, you can rest assured when you get on your knees for your friend, is say, God, if you're in there, eat her alive. And then don't give her any comfort when he starts. Huh? You hear me? What did the pastor just say? Because the biggest problem with most of us as believers is we get in God's way when he starts whipping his children. We feather the pig pen for him and make it soft. Especially our own children. Okay? Whoo, man! Was that a good class?
Yeah.
Hey, you guys wasted a lot of time with all them questions. We only have about 3 minutes. 4 minutes at the most. So, let me see. Is there any questions? Yes, ma'am.
Okay, I have one more that I have to give. This might get this later, but during the Antichrist is ruling.
When the Antichrist is ruling.
The
people at that point in time that are having children, how does that work? Because they're not going to be hearing the gospel if all the Christians are gone. How does that affect the people that come out?
All the Christians are only going to be gone for a short period of time. Very short. Just long enough for the Antichrist to set up this king, that could be done in a day. God's going to call all believers out, and then he's going to save 144,000 Jewish men that are virgins. That kind of eliminates a lot of Jehovah's Witnesses, doesn't it? But that's what the Bible says. The 144,000 he's going to save during the tribulation period is Jewish men that are virgins. That's why I'm really concerned about my buddy Rabbi, because he won't be one of the 144,000 if God raptures out the church right now. Okay. So it's going to be quick. The Holy Spirit leaves out of here, takes restraint off the world. Antichrist comes in, sets up. Holy Spirit comes back, saves 144,000 Jewish virgin men. Okay? Any other questions? Before we go skis. Great class. Glad you guys enjoyed it. Hopefully we can enjoy next week. Right? And we got 2 weeks before I go to Israel, right? We got next week and then the following week. And then we leave on Thursday. So we got 2 weeks. So we'll start next week. This is going to be a monster. Read up on it. We're going to start next week. What is eternal security? Now, if the power of God that we've established, each week is built off of the... We have established salvation coming from God. Nothing you can do. No one will be saved if God did not take the initiative. How can you lose what you can never gain in the first place? Okay? God sets the standard on getting and not getting. If he sets the standard on getting and not getting, what is his standard on when you get it? That's going to be what we're going to discuss next 2 weeks. Okay? Well, hopefully we can get through at eternal security if I don't have all these questions from all you people that are just itching to learn. Then we'll finish the class by next week. Alright, let's pray. Father, thank you so much for being our God. Thank you for the opportunity we have to just get in your word and just have our mind kicked around, our hearts stomped on and then feel good about it. And just thank you that the Holy Spirit is the one that brings conviction. Holy Spirit brings man to you. And that, Father, it is you that has the power to salvation. In Jesus' name, amen.